Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Timothy Delaghetto episode. I learned about Timothy through YouTube. He was one of the first Asian dudes to ever do it and to blow up through YouTube. And my favorite part of his interview was when he talked about getting on the show Wild and Out with Nick Cannon there, and also how he came up through Long Beach and how he got into rapping and etc. So thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. This episode is brought to you by Scentbird. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome rapper, comedian, YouTuber, Timothy Delaghetto!
Yay! Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, I'm nervous. I'm nervous you're here.
We're just
I'm a big fan,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, man.
Been watching it on that show.
Thanks, bro.
Are you still on the show?
No, I did my
last season. Wilding Out?
Yeah, no, not anymore. I did my last season last year.
Dude, you killed it on there.
Thanks, man.
You made us Asians proud that.
That's
you know,
all I'm trying to do,
we had a
bro.
Representative out there doing
you know,
your thing.
I'm just trying to rep for our people,
mm-hmm.
man. You know?
Mm-hmm. We have a lot to talk about. I actually, for you, I have notes.
Do you?
Normally, yeah, it's out of respect. It's respect. Normally, I'm like, I'm just going to keep it organic.
You didn't have
but
to
with
do
you,
notes.
But I'm like, no, I wanted to, because you have a thorough, respectable history. Your trajectory, because you came from where I came from. I'm coming from Fat Sal's.
Oh, you come from Fat Sal's.
Oh, yeah.
I like Fat Sal's.
I was their Oreo shake person.
Were they? That,
yeah,
that was
and then
thing?
You worked at California Pizza Kitchen.
I did. I worked at California Pizza Kitchen for a few years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the food industry is rough, right?
Man, well, yeah. I mean, I know firsthand because my family actually had a Thai food restaurant for like 20 years. It's called Thai Smile Restaurant.
Love Thai food.
Oh, dude, Thai food's the best. Thai food's the best.
Tom like, Cod.
Oh, you know about
God.
The good stuff. Yeah.
Hey, what's the thing you get, Craig, at Palms? The green glory. The morning glory green spinach.
Oh, I know
Woo!
What you're talking about. Palms is a good Thai food spot, too, actually.
Bomb.
Yeah, yeah. It's like huge. So it's kind of like, how's the quality still good? But, and such a big menu, too.
Oh, dude.
But yeah, you
they
know.
They had the singing Elvis there, too.
yeah. Hey, Thai people love karaoke more than, I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of, like
but
most
Pinoy's,
Asian people.
Pinoy's, too.
They do.
My girl's Pinoy. And
yeah, the Filipinos and the Thais. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Filipinos.
Yeah.
Karaoke.
I'm a fan of all. I love the Asian. I love the Thai food, the
thanks,
Japanese
man.
Food, and then you also come from Long Beach.
Yeah. So my family, we lived in Long Beach till I was 10, and then we opened up the Thai food restaurant in Paramount, and then that's where I was for a long, like most of my life from like 10 to last year.
That's what's up.
Thanks, man. And
yeah, definitely.
You know, I worked in that food industry for a bit. Then I went to California Pizza Kitchen. I was a server for a few years. You
ooh,
know,
dude, respect. I worked at IHOP as well.
Hey, man, you know they say like every server in LA is like an actor director. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I didn't care. I'd have my thumb in the yolk. Of this is in Tempe, Arizona. I forgive me, Arizona.
Right.
But I was trying to make ends meet, and they fired me.
I got fired too.
What'd you
get fired for?
I used to itch my nuts.
Ah.
I'd itch.
In front of people?
In front of the customers, yeah.
Why would you do
that?
Oh,
I got that fixed, so I got my thing. It's fixed.
Oh, it was like a terminal
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Damn.
I had the itchies. But I got the proper creams for it.
It was never like to mess with like rude customers?
No, no. Mm. But my manager, who is a white lady, would always pull me to the side and go, Steven, can you make sure... you don't itch for the customers? And I go, I'm sorry. And then I'd drink soup out of the paper cup and everything.
I mean, you know, I think we all had some little things that we used to. I remember one night at CPK, that's what we call California Pizza Kitchen, CPK. Yeah.
I'm a fan. I still like it.
I love CPK. Oh, even though I got fired, yeah, I fucking love CPK, the margarita bro.
Pizza, yeah.
I think one time we all were just ordering accidents on purpose, like ordering mistakes, so they would all just be in the back, and we had like a little like buffet back there. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was lit. Until the manager like caught on to what we're doing, she came. She's like, "You can't just throw all the pizza away. She threw it all away. What
dude,
a waste of food."
That's a perk about working there. Yeah. Like when I worked at Jamba Juice, it was free game. You know, when we closed down, we made our own drinks.
Bro, tell me about the hidden flavors beyond. I mean, everybody knows about the white gummy, but what's some like secret shit that I don't know about?
Oh, there's a purple gummy.
Purple gummy.
Yeah, there's a purple gummy, and that one. Just a little cross reference. A gummy is a hidden drink on Jamba Juice menu. Juice's menu. But it tastes like a gummy bear.
Yeah.
All it is, there's no fruit in it. All it is sherbet scoops.
Oh, it's just sherbet.
It's just, there's no fruit.
Oh.
There's no fruit. There's nothing. It's just, you just combined all of them.
Damn. Yo, that white. But check it out, though. Yeah. I thought I was on some secret shit with the white gummy. It's on the menu now.
What?
Yeah. Like literally the other day I looked up because I was trying to like show like my friend. I was like, yo, check this out. I got some secret shit. And I was like, oh shit, right there. White gummy. It's on
it
the
It is delicious.
It's so
it
good.
It is delicious.
Yeah.
Man, dude. Man, Jamba Juice, if you're out there, Stevie Weeby Show could use another sponsor. We'll shout you out as long as we get free gummies.
You exposed them. You gave away the secret flavor.
We'll edit that out. We'll edit it out. Man, I'm so happy you're here,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for
it's
having me,
honor,
dog.
Man.
Of course.
So when you were in Long Beach, there's Asian gangs, though, right?
There's a lot of Asian gangs, a lot of, like, Cambodian gangs. I mean, there's a lot of gangs in general.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I was, like, I was like a little kid when I was still living in Long Beach. I moved out of Long Beach when I was around 9 or 10, you know what I'm saying? And like I was in a really bad part of Long Beach, so my mom really didn't let me out past like the little grassy area that we would play with the apartment neighbors, you know? So I wasn't out there like that. I just lived there for a minute.
Oh, that's what's
up.
And then when did, dude, because you're one of the first, you like are one of the first Asians to blow up on YouTube.
I mean, I'm trying, man. I think I caught it at a, there was a nice little golden age where YouTube was super new and no one really knew what to do with it, you know? And I was just really trying to get my face out there just like as an actor. I was making little short films with my homies, and then I actually got on YouTube strictly because so me and my buddies, we were doing these little short films, and we had one on our website that was beginning to like get passed around a lot. It was called Jason vs. Gumby. It was like a Halloween comedy.
Oh, cool.
And then it was like getting spread around so much that my boy's website, his bandwidth was like, he ran out of bandwidth. You know, his website like shut down.
Dang.
So then I was on MySpace. And,
oh, this is during the MySpace
days.
Oh.
And someone posted a bulletin, and it was like, look at these white girls dancing to Laffy Taffy, LOL. And I was like, all right, let me click on this so I can LOL.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, and I LOL'd. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, oh, shit, it's a website where anybody can take, like, random videos from their phone or whatever, and it'll give you, like, an embed link for your MySpace. I was like, this is dope. So I told my boy, I was like, hey, we can put all our movies on here, you know, so that he didn't have to worry about his website anymore. And then that's why I got on YouTube initially, and then I just started, like, bullshitting, putting up little, like, freestyle videos.
Yeah,
and
that's cool, though.
Yeah, just being silly to make my MySpace friends laugh, you know?
And what year was this?
Man, this had to be like 05, 06.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what YouTube was.
No one did. You know,
I had no idea.
Bro, back then it was like, it wasn't like regulated yet. There was like, you could find porn on YouTube, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was like,
you could.
Yeah, because it was literally just a video sharing website. Anybody could upload anything,
you know?
Crazy. Yeah.
And then when did like monetization come into play? And when did you start getting traction? Because now you have like over a million subscribers and everything.
Well, I was doing it before monetization was even a thing, you know, like there was no money on YouTube. I was literally just doing it for exposure and hoping like this would be a nice way to get my face out there. And I think I remember a few years into it, there was a handful of YouTubers who were, you know, had an audience, you know, and then I heard like murmurs of like, oh, they're going to start this new thing where you're going to be like a partner and you have to apply and then they'll put ads on your videos and you could potentially make money. And I was like, oh shit, this is crazy. And I definitely was doing it for, I don't know. I mean, I was definitely like, I was still a waiter at CPK when, I feel like I got my first check where I was like, okay, I might be able to just do this, you know. Right.
So you got a good check from YouTube, from Google or YouTube?
Well, coincidentally, the checks were just little at first. You know, I was I could buy some shoes with this money or whatever. Yeah. And then coincidentally, the week I got fired from California Pizza Kitchen, I won a YouTube contest.
Damn.
And it was an HP laptop contest. Remember they had those commercials where you wouldn't see people's heads. You would just see like them doing stuff and they would just be talking. So it was like make your own HP contest. So I did one while I was like rapping and I did some, you know, some little shit. And I had a decent YouTube following at that point. So they voted for me and it was just, you know, it was a good video.
I
won like 15 G's that week.
Oh, that's straight.
Yeah. And that was the week I got fired. And then, it was like a whole like one door closes, another one opens. I feel like this is a sign situation.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, okay, let me just focus on this YouTube shit. I'm not working, but I can really kind of go hard on this content and see if I can make something happen.
That's
crazy. Thanks, man.
And then because I'm trying to learn for, you know, like I'm trying to learn off you and Dumb and like the rest of the homies doing it, like what's the workload like what tips do you have for like dudes starting out a channel, like what do you gotta sure you're doing?
I mean, I feel like it's harder now than
it was before
because you know when I got on YouTube there was no such thing as YouTube famous, you know? When I got on YouTube, everybody was trying to be like famous. now being YouTube famous. Yeah, it's something that they want to like aspire to be, you know what I'm saying? So there's like so many more little kids and so many more just everybody on YouTube trying to like make it into something, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely more difficult now, but I feel like consistency is key. Like, you know, knowing how to kind of maneuver the trending situation helps because it's you know.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that stuff.
Yeah, it's just when there's so many people putting out so much content. Sometimes it helps to just kind of find whatever might be a trend or what's popular, what's buzzing, and get in there a little bit.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah, it helps. What about the titles of the videos? Does that matter?
I mean, I think it does.
Like the clickbaity stuff.
You definitely got to be a little clickbaity. But I feel like clickbaity is such an ugly term.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like.
When did that come into play? Like, when did it become clickbaity?
I mean, like, I feel like people have been clickbaiting since the beginning of any type of media ever.
Or the internet, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, not even just the internet, like traditional media, too. Oh, you got to do an ad anyways, dog. We got to do an ad right now.
All
right.
With that being said.
Speaking of monetization,
this episode is brought to you by Scentbird. If you like colognes and perfumes, then you'll love Scentbird. Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service. Choose cologne or perfumes that you want, and they'll send you up to a 30-day supply. There's 120 different sprays, more than 450 designer brands like Dolce & Gabbana, Ralph Lauren, Hugo Boss. Go to Scentbird.com/Stebe right now and use code Stebe, STEEBEE, and get 50% off your first month. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. Sign on and smell amazing. Back to you. I'm interested. Man, I want to just pick at your brain.
Please
do. I've been watching and like just like even you getting on these shows. Like how did you like start getting into TV and like how'd you get on Wild and Out and all that?
Okay, well, I mean, TV was like always a goal, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I was already kind of doing my thing on YouTube, somebody tweeted me and they're like, hey, Nick Cannon's bringing Wild and Out back, you would be good for that. And I always thought I'd be good for Wild and Out when like the OG Wild and Out was on, because you know I was like always like rapping and I was always like funny, so I was like, okay, this show is like perfect for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I followed Nick Cannon on Twitter And then one day he tweeted, who's the funniest person online? Whoever gets the most retweets of hashtag wildinout needs me, I'll audition personally. Whoa. So I had like my minions retweet, right? Mm-hmm. And then someone DM'd me and they're like, hey, if you're serious about this, contact this person and you can come in for an audition. And also during that whole process, David So's manager, this guy Abe.
Shout out to David So.
Shout out to David So. Shout out to Abe. Abe knew a guy named Niall who's one of the producers, and Abe hit me up. He was like, hey man, if you're serious, I can get you in the room, blah blah blah. So it was all just kind of like, you know. So I went in for the audition, and then like it was like me in a room for like maybe like six people, and Nick Cannon right there, and and then they had me like freestyle and play some improv games.
Dang, so you had to do the whole gambit of different, you know, not just rap, but you had to act and improvise.
Yeah, because they kind of want to make sure it's not just like a rapper show, and it's not just comedians. Mm-hmm. People can do both, you know.
Wow.
So he would, you know, so he told me to rap, and I rapped a little bit, and then he would say, okay, Kevin Hart is in front of you right now, like diss him, you know what I'm saying? Like do the wild style. The wild style is when you do the little rap battle at the end. Right, he was like, okay, wild style Kevin Hart right now, and then they called me back for the group audition, and we auditioned for like with a bunch of other people, see if the chemistry was right.
Oh,
and then I was on the show, and I was like, man, that was like 6-7 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah,
so it's been on that long.
Yeah, and that was the reboot was on.
Wow.
That long. Yeah, yeah.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm. So how is that filmed in LA, or do you go like,
so it was north? It was in New York.
Okay.
And then it was in LA for a little bit, then it was back in New York, and now it's in Atlanta. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. And then you met some good people through that. Like,
all those guys.
Like Charlie Clips is a part of it.
Oh, Charlie Clips is a good dude. Yeah, yeah. All those guys are really good.
Like, oh, I saw Lil Dicky on there a few
times. Dicky did an episode.
Shout out to
Lil Dicky.
Yeah, of course.
He's super dope.
Yeah.
Bars.
Yeah, bars. Yeah, yeah. Especially him and on Sway and Tech. Like, dude.
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get, how did you get into music first off? Like, did you listen to like a Run DMC tape? Like, who were you inspired by?
Yeah, you know what really got me? I mean, when I was in elementary school, we all just were big like rap fans, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And but I think what really got me into like hip hop and just rapping and wanting to rap is I was watching like In Living Color reruns because my parents used to always have.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
of course.
Man. Oh man, definitely.
Shout out to Damon. Damon slept on.
Oh dude, they're also funny.
Yeah, Damon.
So like, I think you know, my parents would always have just In Living Color reruns on because my mom, you know, they thought it was hilarious. And then there was an episode where A Tribe Called Quest performed with leaders of the New School. They were doing Scenario.
Oh, dude.
And Busta Rhymes' verse on that song, like, as a little kid, blew my mind. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then around like 6th, 7th grade, me and my homies in junior high, just being stupid, just started trying to write raps and stuff.
Dude.
And we formed like a little group.
Yeah, yeah. Called, are they all Asian dudes?
No. Actually, the group was called BAS. It was Black Asian Samoan because it was a black guy and an Asian guy
and like
a Samoan.
Booyah Tribe.
Yeah, kind of.
Shout out to Booyah Tribe.
Damn, shout out to the Booyah Tribe.
No, they were hard.
That's a reference right there.
Yeah, Booyah Tribe was hard. Aren't they from Long Beach, too?
They're from Carson.
Carson. Close enough.
Yeah, Carson.
But Booyah Tribe were like six Samoan.
Yeah, Samoan dudes just rapping.
Have you heard of Booyah Tribe? Dude, they're hard.
That's like definitely
they're
like
all like their
I can't
arms
believe
like,
I can't even believe you referenced Booyah
what?
Tribe.
What? Hey man, I watch your MTV.
Where are you from?
San Diego.
Because like I feel like
when
no,
I just watch your MTV raps, I had the same trajectory. I'd watch the Beastie Boys, Cypress Hill, Leaders of the New School.
Man, growing up, I didn't think anybody outside of Long Beach knew who the Booyah Tribe was. To be honest, you know, I didn't know their reach was that. I mean, I was a little kid too, though.
Yeah. Were you influenced by the Mountain Brothers at all?
Mountain Brothers. I'm not familiar with the Mountain.
They were
Brothers.
Like these three Chinese guys from Philly, and they won back in the day like a Sprite commercial thing. And
three
I'm
of them.
Yeah, three Chinese
guys. Vaguely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and their producer's name's Chops, and I'm like, they were on a Sprite commercial, and I'm like, damn, that's dope. They're Asian dudes rapping. Damn. And then they had a video called Galaxies.
Okay, this is sounding familiar.
Yeah. This is like 90, familiar. I think 96. I want to say 90s.
Because, I mean, I definitely remember just being a little kid and being excited anytime I saw any Asian guy on TV that wasn't, you know, a kung fu guy. You know what I'm saying?
And then fast forward in your trajectory, you did a song with Jin and Dumbfounded. So
that's
crazy.
Thanks,
that's
crazy. Man. I also did a song with Jin called "I'm Not Him," where it's us talking about how people get us confused.
That's
that's a fun one.
Yeah, that's funny. Like I noticed that in the conceited Dumbfounded battle, like he was saying that. He was like referring you to Dumb, and you're like, "I'm not him."
Well, yeah, it's
was that planned?
Well, conceited came up to me beforehand. He was like, "Hey, is it cool if I make this joke?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's fine."
I always wondered that. I'm like, "Wait a minute."
Yeah, Colin was like, "Is this okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's fine." So he was like, "All right, well, make sure you stand in the front." I was like, "Okay, I got you."
Oh, because you guys ended up working together on your show anyway, right?
Well, we were on Wild 'N Out before Dumb and Conceited battled. You know,
oh, that's crazy.
So it was like I think we had done a few seasons of Wild 'N Out, and then he told me about the Dumbfounded battle, and we were shooting in New York, and that battle was in Toronto. So a bunch of us from the cast just went over to Toronto for the event. Dope. Yeah,
That was King of the Dot.
King of the Dot event. Yeah.
What's that event like? Is that because I've never been to a live event like that?
Rap battle events are fun.
I watch
man.
It on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's a good time. It's like a 9-to-1 ratio of men to women. You know what I'm saying? Huge cock fest, but it's like, but you know, you're not going to rap battle events to meet girls. You know, you're going for the bars. You know,
It's like going to a UFC fight.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess. So it's like, you know, but it's a good time, especially if you keep up with that stuff, if you like the rap battles, if you know, because I've been watching that shit for so long, so much so that I'm like cool with a lot of those guys now, you know. So, whenever I have the opportunity, I'll stop by. I've been like a few of them.
Now, like going back to your trajectory, like as far as you watching that and like Tribe and Leaders of the New School, like were there other groups that you looked up to? You're like, okay, I want to do a style like that.
I mean, growing up, I was just, you know, like I said, I was a huge Busta Rhymes fan. I was a big Fugees fan. I was actually a huge Wyclef fan, too. Like, Wyclef's music was so all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And so different.
And his voice.
Because
he
was singing and rapping. Yeah, and I liked this whole vibe. And, I was a huge Outkast fan, of course. Yeah, yeah. And, I like weird people. You know what I'm saying? I like people that are doing something different. I think that's what I was drawn to growing up.
Yeah. Leaders stood out to me because they were all like different. You know, they all had different styles. Like Charlie Brown had a style. Dinko D had his own thing. And Busta had his own thing. But they also, their dress.
Right.
Like the way they dress. I'm like, wow, I want like fluorescent. This or you know,
you know what I was just thinking, man. I was literally just thinking today about how
cross colors.
I feel like Busta Rhymes is super slept on in terms of how much of just a groundbreaking
dude,
like performer and lyricist, and just like style wise and like the music videos.
His solo album was hard.
People
that abandoned ship song was hard.
Man.
But so shout out to Busta Rhymes. I could see a collab. That would be amazing if you could get a collab with. You and Busta.
That would be amazing. I've never
put it out in the universe. Hey, holler at him.
Busta Rhymes, I'm put into the atmosphere. Yeah. I think one of the coolest one of the people I was most excited about meeting when we were shooting Wild 'N Out is when I met Big Boy from Outkast. I was like, oh man, it's such an honor. You know what I'm saying? Because I was such a huge Outkast fan.
Was he cool?
Super cool, chill.
Yeah, nice guy. Yeah,
real nice. Everyone's
and then who are
chilling.
Because you've met probably a couple of those kinds of people. Like as far as
have
you met like Q-Tips?
I've not met Q-Tip.
Large Professor.
I was excited when also we shot an episode with Jadakiss, which
That's
was
crazy.
Exciting.
That's crazy.
Fabulous was a fun episode for me too. I was a big Fabulous fan and. Method Man.
Whoa,
which was great.
I mean, dude.
Yeah.
So, did you when you first heard of Wu-Tang Clan? Like, do you remember where you're at and like how you discovered them? Because
I remember. I mean, I feel like I was in like eighth grade. I just remember being like, this is a lot of guys, but this is dope.
A lot of guys. And I didn't know what they looked like. My homie had the tape.
Oh, yeah,
Protect
yeah.
Your Neck, and then on the flip side, the Method Man song.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is this? Wu-Tang, are they Chinese? And I put it in. It was like, first of all, the production stood out. I'm like, wait a minute. This is different.
It was fun because on Wild 'N Out, like, so we were playing this game called Let Me Holler, where you try to say your best, like, pickup lines to a Wild 'N Out girl. And I came up with a line for me and Method Man to do a little bit together.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, hey girl, you know, I got Method Man, so you know he can make you. And he's like, Cream. And I was like, oh. And then and that was dope, because like whenever you want to get on like a moment on the show,
yeah,
it's like if you can work the celebrity guest into a bit, it's like you for sure aren't gonna get cut out, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, I got an idea for me and Meth so I can get some TV time, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy. And then you had to think of that on the spot, like that idea.
Well, we knew he was coming. So I was like, so I was probably like the night before, I was in bed, and I was like, ooh, Cream.
Yeah. Damn, you beat him to the punch.
Yeah.
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 So like, have you met other Wu-Tang members?
Yes. I shot a skit with RZA. A long time ago, I was presented with a random ass opportunity. I was doing these skits called Chunk Dirty, where it was two really like shitty rappers.
Yeah.
And then and then the company I was working with, one of the ladies had a relationship with RZA for whatever reason. And then I had an idea for this skit where he's like teaching us how to rap, and then he gets like pissed off at us, and it was dope.
Damn, that's crazy. Are those guys super mellow?
Oh, here's a funny story about RZA.
Yeah, I want to hear a RZA. Okay. Story.
So we're in the studio, which is where we're shooting this skit, right?
This is in New York?
This was in L.A.
This was in L.A.
And so it's me and my boy Rick, who we do these Chunk Dirty characters, and my friend Michelle Martinez, she was a singer, she was just in town visiting, mm-hmm. but she was on the couch, like just kind of hanging out while like we're getting this skit ready, right? So RZA walks in, he sees her on the couch, and immediately he's like, oh, you got the hose on deck? And I was like, no, this is my friend.
Oh my goodness.
My homegirl. Yeah. Nice to be, you know, here. Like, meet RZA, you know.
Damn, they're still on the prowl like that.
I guess so, man. Wow. Well, maybe he was just asking if I had him around in general, not necessarily for him or anybody. But he's like, oh, you got the hold on deck?
Rest in peace, old dirty bastard.
Rest in
Imagine
peace,
what
ODB.
He would have said.
Oh, who knows?
He would have probably taken his clothes off.
Probably.
I love him. Man, that's crazy. Wu-Tang, that's a crazy, you have Wu-Tang stories.
I mean, like
that's
two.
Great. Oh, but that's cool. So what, like, as far as like, so after Wild and Out, like, are you, like, what are like your future, are you going to get more into movies? Or are you going to record more albums?
Yeah, that's the plan, man. Yeah. All that shit, you know, because I feel like I had a fun time on Wild and Out. Mm-hmm. And I haven't put out a new like album, like new music, in like six, seven years.
Why'd you stop?
Well, initially, okay, so I was rapping under the name Traffic.
Yeah. That's what it said on your.
Yeah. So I did that because when I first got on YouTube, I didn't want people to think I was making comedy music.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want people to like see the rap and see the comedy and think, oh, he's like on some like Lonely Island. Even though I love Lonely Island, I wanted them to know that, hey man, I'm taking my music like seriously, you know?
So I had the
Timothy Delgado for the comedy stuff, Traffic for the rap stuff, and then I did a couple like little mixtapes, and I put out like a full project which people really liked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know, I feel like I just took a little break, partly because I was focusing more on the comedy, because the comedy was really doing well.
Yeah, and you're doing well in it.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, it was like the comedy door was open, so I was walking through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was kind of feeling like just not creative musically for a while.
I hear you.
But now I feel like the bar is really low for rappers, and I'm like, wow, because I see like kids get really excited over like shitty rap, you know, so I kind of.
What are your thoughts on that? That kind of depresses me.
Well, look,
as well.
I ever since I was a little kid, I understood not everything's gonna be super lyrical, you know, like there's always like there's fun rap, and then there's more lyrical stuff, and there's wordplay, and there's just like party rap, you know. Mm-hmm. But I
like
mean,
Kid and Play was that?
Yeah, it was just fun.
It was
you
fun.
Know,
it was fun.
But I feel like now the bar is so low for what the kids would call bars that I'm like, I kind of like shitty music inspired me to want to make music again, you know, because I was like, let me show these kids that like, you know, like some real, like, you know, some real bars, you know,
and
I feel like I really kind of, one reason why I like rapping so much and writing rap is because I like the English language, the English language, and I like
flipping
words together.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and that was always fun for me. And so I'm working on some new music again for the first time in a long time. Thanks, man.
I back that.
Thank you.
Are there producers that you're looking to work with? Like, who would you want to work with as far as production wise?
Man, who would I want to work with? Man, you know, I mean, of course. I mean, I was always a big Kanye West fan, you know, especially Kanye's production, you know.
The MPC.
Yeah. And of course, like, you know, if I could get like a Ninth Wonder would send me some beats, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. So Ninth Wonder, if you end up somehow watching this Weeby show, definitely give this man some beats, at least an EP's worth.
Hey, that'd be fun.
6 beats.
Let's do it.
Maybe Premiere, DJ Premiere.
Yeah.
MF Doom, maybe. Oh, Pete Rock, maybe. Yeah. One or two from Pete Rock.
Just all of them. Maybe everybody send me
two
beats.
Two from Large Professor. I'm basically like trying to get you like Nas's Illmatic.
And just for like my early 2000 club days, like if Timbaland could send me some beats. Yeah.
That'd be tight. One or two. Now, how does that work? I don't even know how that works, because I like just make my own crappy beats on my sampler. But if you want to work with like an established producer, like what's like the fee for a beat?
It all depends. You know, it's very pricey. And
yeah.
Well, it's pricey unless you are popping, I feel. You know, then it's just like a political thing, right? Then it's like, you know, does this person just want to like, you know, just they want to work.
Right.
You know, so right now, I mean, I have a few like really just solid producers I know that make beats for me.
Are they in-house, like a part of your team?
Not necessarily a team, just guys I like to work with.
Right.
You know?
And then do they craft beats specifically for you, or do they just make a bunch of beats? Hey, which ones do you like?
It all depends. It all depends. Like, I went over a guy's house recently because I saw his stuff on Instagram, and so we linked up, and I was like, hey, man. So I played him some of my stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what I do. So if you got anything in mind that you think I would be good on, let me know. And he played a handful of beats, and we're just gonna go from there.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's fun.
So nowadays it's easy just to maybe branch out on like Instagram, right? Like, but the thing is, he probably knew who you were already, right?
Well, I'm not gonna lie, man. The whole like the blue check is a really good marketing networking tool, you know.
That's a game changer,
isn't it? Yeah. And especially since Instagram started doing this shit now where they prioritize your DMs. Where it's like, do you know they do this?
No. So what are you talking about?
Your
man?
DMs are separated into top requests and all requests. So when you go to the top request tab, it's the people with the most followers. The DMs are categorized in that way. So it's like when someone who also like has an audience hits you up, it's at the top of the list. So you see
because I DM'd you. Was mine like 28th or 2008? Like where was it?
I forget.
But you saw it.
I did.
Oh my god! Thank you, Lord. You saw it. Oh my god.
I'm
that
always
makes
checking.
Me happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, I'm just curious. Out of my curiosity.
Yeah.
Out of your DMs, like how many do you have unread? Like, because I know you have like tons of unread DMs.
You know what? I try to be like, I try to check them as much as I can because I feel
you
like
check all of them.
I try to. If I'm like pooping, I take really long poops,
and then
so it's like that's right, like business time. You know what I'm saying?
So you're just like,
I try to check them all because you
I
never
check them
know
all too. I don't
where
have that,
opportunity
yeah.
may be coming
right.
from. You know,
even if it's like a shout out, like if someone likes one of your videos.
Yeah, you just
like,
never know.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're saying the people who DM you, depending on how many followers they have, the most followers will get to the top of
the list.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that
so
cool?
So that's for certified, that's for you to the check mark people.
I guess so. And like that's what I'm saying. It's like when you're like verified, you know, it's easier to be like, hey man, I would like to work with you, and they're like, oh, okay, cool.
That's crazy. And then when does the check mark come into play? Do you have to email the president of Instagram?
Yo, you know what? It's such a stupid
because
process.
I gave up on it because there's another Stevie Weeb or Weeby or something, and he's a gamer, but it's spelled differently than mine.
I see.
But he was out first. He was in a documentary about Donkey Kong. So I don't know if that's a reason, but like, how do you get the check?
I you know what, man? I've heard so many different stories of like, you got to know this person and that person. I know people at Instagram, and I can't get my wife verified. I can't get one of the guys that was on Wildin' Out with me. I can't get him verified.
You can't get your wife verified?
Nah, dude. And she has a shitload of followers. But
how does that? Because like, my brother's homie, who's a comedian, I'm not gonna say his name.
Yeah.
He has less than 8,000 followers, mm-hmm. and he's certified.
That's what I'm saying. It's such a weird.
But then there's someone with 750,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
I know.
So how does that work? I just want to know. Is it like, do you have to be hip to like trends? No.
Well,
or something?
I was lucky enough that I got invited to like a Facebook was doing like a hey, let's walk you through certain things if you have questions. It was like for like an influencer type situation.
You said Facebook.
Yeah, well, Facebook owns Instagram, remember?
Right, that's right.
So it was like a little event. They had called in I don't know how many people came in that day, and it was like there was like fucking cookies and shit.
Damn.
And then we came in, and they're like, hey, do you have any questions about this and that? And they were like, would you like to change your Facebook URL? I was like, yes, I would, actually. This has changed They verified me on Facebook, and then they were like, okay, what's the Instagram? We'll verify you there. And I was like, oh, thank you.
So you had a person just do it. Yeah. You had a tech person.
Yeah.
Damn.
This was a long time ago.
If I worked there, that'd be a great side hustle.
Oh, just selling that?
Dude, you could probably make 10, for sure. 10K a pop.
Definitely.
You don't think a person will pay 10 G's? Like, hey, dude, here.
Yes.
Please get me.
Dude, there's a whole thing of like so many. So I got hacked one time, right?
You got hacked?
Yeah, and as a result, like I got lucky. I was unlucky, and then I got lucky. Because like, it was so dumb because someone I knew DM'd me, and they were like, yo, oh my God, can you believe what this blog site wrote about you? It's so funny. And I was like,
what?
Oh, LOL, what is it? And this person's replying to me in real time, like, you just got to check it out. And then I click the link, and then, but it's not just a link click, because then it says, put in, like, log into your Instagram. And I'm like, fuck, this is weird. But so I DM my homie back, and I'm like, hey, this is weird. It's telling me to log in. They're like, yeah, just do it. It's fine. I did it. So I'm like, okay. Then I do it. As soon as I log in, emails pop up. Your password to Instagram has been changed. Your name's been changed. I was like, whoa, what the fuck? And I realized, oh, my God, I've been hacked. So immediately, I'm locked out of my account, and all my pictures start disappearing off my feed.
Dude,
all right?
You're raising my blood pressure.
But check this out. Here's why I got lucky, okay? Because this person, whoever hacked me, realized that I also am followed and follow people with way more followers than me, like way more.
Yeah.
So they were like, I can use Tim as a tactic the way that the fake person DM'd me, the one I thought I was talking to my friend. They're like, I can use Tim to DM these bigger people. So then I'm getting alerts on my phone from my friend Leanne V.
An imposter, though.
Yes.
It was an imposter.
Someone
doing
posing
it
as me using my account was DMing this girl Leanne V, who had like another, like at least a million more followers than me. And they were like, and I'm getting alerts from her saying, LOL, what is it? And I was like, I texted her, like, don't do it. Don't do it. And then she finally texts me 10 minutes later. She's like, oh my God, it's too late. Then her shit's hacked. And then,
so it was just a chain reaction.
Yeah.
Damn. So how did you recover that?
It took like a week, but we just had to email my Instagram person to fix everything.
Oh my God.
But I definitely lost like a good, like, some memories from like Thailand and Singapore and
that's
shit in
crazy,
the mix. Pictures
dude.
That I
I'm
didn't
sorry
have
that
back
happened
then.
To you, man.
It happens.
Yeah, I went through identity theft in Vegas as well. They hacked my B of A card.
What?
Yeah, they took like $1,500 out. I was working at Jamba Juice too.
Oh, shit.
So I went back to Jamba Juice on my lunch break, tried to get $20 out for lunch.
Yeah.
And it said, you already took out your whatever the amount for today. And then, yeah, they can make cards. Like, let's say this is a card. They could just put a swiper on it.
Mm.
And then there's these machines.
Get, like, the
numbers. Be careful.
It's crazy out here.
So let's go back to the hack. So that was through a DM through Instagram?
Yes. So what they do is their whole goal is to get these accounts with huge followings,
mm-hmm.
wipe them clean, and then sell them to people.
Damn.
So people can buy them and have followers.
That's shady.
Yeah, because...
But that's not real genuine following.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They try to
do
it...
That's not even them.
I know.
Then why? What's... I don't understand.
So I think they try to do it in a way that it's slick enough. Because one time, I think I had a friend that got hacked, and I didn't know it because I didn't realize. And then maybe, and then one day all of a sudden I was scrolling, and an account I followed was just all like a meme page I'd never seen before, and a meme page with like, you know, a handful of pictures. I'm like, what the fuck is this? When did I follow this? And I realized, oh, it's my friend's page that got hacked. It's just been completely reworked. Oh my
God. When something like that happens, dude, does your heart rate go up?
Yeah.
Like, do you start sweating?
Yeah, you do.
Panic mode.
You like, really do.
You want to go to the cops, but what are the cops going
to
do?
I mean, it sounds silly to whine about, right? But then it's like, fuck, man. Like, this is a moneymaker for me. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It's your livelihood, man.
Yeah.
Because literally, you through Instagram, like through with me, in my little operation, that's how I reach out to getting guests. That's how I reach out to whatever, like checking like promoting like a t-shirt, or like, hey, my video's up. And then when that's down, they're taking away my whole everything. Wow. So how long did it take for you to retrieve it back? Like a week?
Probably like a week.
I'm so sorry that
it's okay. It's okay. It happens.
Hey, whoever did that, shame on you. So if you're watching this, click off of this. Shame on you. Shame on you.
But good job. That was smooth.
But hey, look, you made it through that.
We made it. Thank God.
And look, you're doing awesome.
Thanks, man.
How we doing on time? We good? These guys have been trying to swat a fly for the last 30 minutes.
Dude, I almost slapped you on the forehead. It was literally right here on you.
Are you going to do a Mr. Miyagi?
I don't know if you noticed, but while you were talking to me, at one point I looked around the table to see if there was a magazine, because I was about to grab this shit and just like get it.
I killed two today with my slipper.
Yeah.
With this.
You know what I like to do? I like to get my chick's hair ties.
Oh, because
like, they don't.
You
they
know
don't,
about that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, bro, the flinger.
Because they don't see that coming.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know, it's quick.
Man, I could go another 2 hours with you, because like we could get into real estate. Because aren't you? Don't you have a property for sale?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Congratulations on your property. So next time you get on, let's talk about like investments,
sure,
and properties,
grown people shit.
Dude, you're killing it, dude. So just tell me, just to end it, We got time.
Oh, we got time.
Let's talk about your
first 20-30 at least.
Let's talk about your first property that you bought.
First property that I bought was the condo I'm selling now in Paramount.
See, I remember.
Thanks, man. You pay attention. That's a good trait for someone hosting a podcast, you know.
They say I don't listen. I do.
I've been accused of not paying attention on my podcast.
But, you know, I'm a drifter. My mind drifts.
Yeah, me too. It's a struggle.
I have so much on my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh, I got to do my Patreon this. Oh, no, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do this. You know, I have like 20 things in my mind.
Paying attention is hard.
I know.
Yeah.
Did I cut you off?
No.
You'd let me know if I didn't cut you off.
You did not cut me off.
Thank you. I'm glad. See? Continue.
But yeah, Paramount, it was my first time ever moving out of my family's house, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just been like saving my money up. And then it was just time for me to get a little condo. And then I was there for like 5 or 6 years. And then, you know, I got married last year.
Congratulations.
So thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you.
She looks like a lovely, nice lady.
She is a lovely, nice lady. Yeah. She balances me right out.
That's good. That's good, but you need balance.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I couldn't date somebody just like me. Nah.
Yeah, no. They need to put you in check and go, no, you have to, you know.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
Because with my girl, like, I want to sleep in, eat Cheerios, pick my butt, play Destiny, and she's like, hey, shouldn't you sleep at a reasonable time? Shouldn't you do this? I'm like, you're right.
I know. You need somebody just nagging you a bit.
You do.
Yeah.
Although we hate it during.
Yeah, but you appreciate it. And then afterwards you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So let's go back to your beautiful.
So she's dope, and I just felt like, you know, my condo was already like just full of my shit, you know. So I feel like it was time for me to move on and get a house, you know, for her to, because she was moving from Canada. We were long distance for a long time.
Oh, wow,
so we got married, moved her down here, I moved into the house about a year ago, and been married for a year now.
Congratulations. Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
You know what? Here's the thing. We haven't gone on the honeymoon yet.
Hawaii, baby.
Because, we went to Hawaii.
Okay.
We went to Hawaii just for funsies.
Maybe go to Asia.
Well, the thing about it is she can't travel yet.
Okay.
Because she's Canadian, we're going through the whole green card process.
Right,
it's a
long-ass
process.
You'll get to it.
We actually went on our final interview, and she just got approved for the green card. Like, last week. This is breaking news. I haven't
announced
this anywhere yet.
They could travel globally now.
So we can finally go on honeymoon. So you go to Europe,
you could go to Australia, you could go wherever.
She wants to go to the Maldives.
What the hell is the Maldives?
That's you ever see the pictures of those like little huts on the water?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Maldives. Is that Tahiti? So, like somewhere out there. Yeah.
Some island.
So they say like the Maldives, you got to go soon because it's just going to get swallowed up by the ocean.
You
got to
do it, man. I think you got to do it. Get some sunblocks, some swim trunks.
I think that's the plan.
You know, get your surfboard ready.
No, I don't. No. I'm not a good swimmer. I don't go past like my nipples.
Snorkeling?
I'm just going to go wading, I think. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You're going. And so tell me more about this house. Like, how did you find this property and like what made you?
I was just on Zillow. You know, just on Zillow.
Shout out to Zillow.
Yeah. You know, I knew my yeah. what I was prepared to spend, and yeah. I knew what I wanted. And it's funny thing about the house is I'm in an area kind of like known as like it's like the Black Beverly Hills, because like it's all like old rich black people that are just retired living there.
That's
you
cool.
know what I'm saying? And I told my boy I was like, yo, I found a house here, and he's like, you're not allowed to live there. My friend Rick is black. He's like, you're not supposed to live there.
Oh.
And then he's just playing around. Okay. But then I remember when I first ordered some Postmates. It was an older black dude who was my Postmates delivery guy, and I opened the door, and he was like, oh. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you know, it's nothing but black people around here. I'm like, I know. And he goes, okay. Yeah. the flies in my face.
Yeah, the flies in my face. It's okay, man. We're going to get through this, brother. We're going to get through this. It's so all good. Like, yeah, the flies in my face.
No way, I'm looking at it right now. You got a rubber band?
He's right there.
Do you have a rubber band?
Yeah. You know what? You know what? When we do my Mr. Miyagi?
No.
Oh, damn it.
We're going to kill this thing before this interview's over.
I already killed two today. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
So Postmates dude is like...
Was he on my forehead?
He was literally just right.
It's cool.
So Postmates dude is like, oh, you know, he's just, you know, it's only black people around him. I'm like, yeah. I know. He's like, and he's like, you might be the only Asian around here. I'm like, I know. And then he goes, good job. And he daps me. I was like, thank you.
Hey, that's cool.
It was fun.
It's a nice neighborhood. It's a nice house.
Yeah,
your
man.
Your wife enjoys it.
Yeah, it's cool. Just trying to get used to the whole, like, you know, like having a house is a whole different thing. You know what I'm saying? You got to worry about your fucking, like, grass and shit.
Yeah.
It's different.
My brother just moved into his new house with his girlfriend, and they had an ant problem.
Ugh.
So they had to do all that.
The worst.
No hot water.
Ugh.
So there's a lot to it.
Yeah,
as far
there's
as being
like
a homeowner.
Yeah, man, there's like a cat that shits in my backyard.
Oh, that's not cool.
There was like a potential gopher situation. It's fucked up. It's weird shit you don't deal with when you're living in an apartment.
So you
know?
Got to deal with all that? The landscaping?
Yes, man.
All the landscaping?
Well, I hire a guy.
Wow. So the property's on sale.
Yes, my condo is on sale. I think we got a couple offers this week.
That's what's up.
So that's exciting. Up. You know, everyone's like, yo, you should rent it. But I honestly, I want to sell it right now because I want like just a quick, big amount of money because I want to invest in some other shit.
Yeah.
And just some money to help me pay for the mortgage of the house.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So how many bedrooms are in it?
The one I'm selling?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a two-bedroom, two-bath.
All right, two-bedroom, two-bath.
It's in a gated community.
Gated community.
Yeah, it's not
grocery
bad.
Store nearby?
Oh, yeah. Stater there Brothers right down the street.
Stater Brothers right down the street.
And a really good taco spot called Yiyo's Tacos. The chorizo is popping.
That's a selling point.
And also Tam's Burgers is right down the street. Tam's is like the best cheeseburgers in Paramount. It's like if you go to Tam's.
Better than Tommy's?
Ah, man. It's like, you know how every little city has their little area?
Yeah,
has
yeah.
their spot? Like Tam's mm-hmm. was like after the club, after the party, everybody was at Tam's at 2 a.m.
Oh, God.
Yeah, good stuff.
I feel like a chili cheese hamburger. Yeah, man, we could talk longer, because you have a lot going on, future plans, out tours, possibly,
potentially
future albums,
maybe
right?
working on it.
When, like, how do you, what's the process of you, completing a song as opposed to an album? Do you have to listen to the beat first? Do you have like a whole notebook filled with
raps?
Yeah,
I have a notebook filled with like just random shit that I think is witty and clever, and then I'll find a beat that I really like and I try to match it up, you know?
Yeah,
or if I'm stuck, I go to the notebook and just be like, okay, how can I put this in here and fit it all together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so as far as the way you release your music, like, is it all like just online? Like, do people press up records or tapes or CDs?
I think online is definitely the move nowadays, especially streaming, with streaming. Right, yeah, right. Streaming's crazy, man. Because the fact that like you can go platinum by having shitty music just because people are listening to it as like a troll. You know what I'm saying? That's wild.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like literally songs that are really really bad that are just viral are like have like platinum records, you know?
Yeah, another one that's, I'm not saying this is a shitty song, but one thing that comes to mind, because I know a guy named Lil Ray, who does cowboy raps. He's on my puppet show.
Mm-hmm.
He does a cowboy rap every, do you get it? Every week, but then Lil Nas X does one song, and it blows up globally. Mm-hmm. So it made me, once that happened in the game, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's not even about doing a whole album.
I know.
All you need is one, like, a 3-minute one single hook, and then boom.
Isn't that crazy?
That blows my mind.
You just never know nowadays. Because
I grew up listening to the whole album.
Same.
Like, wow, the whole album.
You just had
its entirety.
Yeah.
And like looking at the album cover and the liner notes and being like, who's this person?
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like just one song.
It's really all you need.
So is that the mindset that needs to change with these artists? Don't even think about an EP or mixtape. Think about that one song.
I mean,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I definitely, I mean, people would definitely, oh, you got it.
And they did kill the fly. You could just put it near my skateboard. Thank you. Okay. So
I was going to say, yeah, I think
I've been meaning
for
to
me
ask
putting
people
on
that.
Music, I would definitely, I think it's more of a single situation.
Single.
I mean, you know, who knows, man? I haven't put out music in like 7 years, so who knows?
You gotta do it, man.
I'm literally going to a music video shoot after this.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, just green screen shit.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. Cool. Is it for your video?
For it's David So's song. I'm on the remix of it.
Oh, that's
and we're shooting
what's up.
A quick little weird visual for it.
A side note, how'd you meet all those cats? Shout out to JK. Shout out to JK. Shout out to all of them.
I actually, me and Joe of JK went to junior high together.
Really?
And we didn't know that. So when I started making YouTube videos and I was kind of doing my thing and I began to see the JK guys stuff when they were doing the uncle characters, I thought they were super funny. And then one day, I forget who messaged who, but we're like, let's get together, just kind of see if we like fuck with each other and might want to work together. And then Joe and Bart came to my family's Thai food restaurant in Paramount, and we started just kind of talking about, you know, where'd you grow up, where'd you go to school, blah, blah, blah. And Joe's like, oh, you know, I went to school in Gardena for a bit. I'm like, oh, me too. And I'm like, oh, I went to Gardena Valley Christian School. He's like, oh, I went there for a couple years. And I was like, holy shit, Joseph, blah, blah. And I said his full name, and then Bart was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And we had no idea, and then it all kind of connected in my head, and I remembered Joe. He was a couple grades older than me, and he got kicked out for some shit. And then we just became really cool. Like, I don't really, you know, I don't work with a lot of people in terms of YouTubers. But those guys, JK guys, I fuck with those guys. You know, just genuine people, really cool.
And they got a cool operation going.
And they got,
you know,
their shit together.
Dope.
Yeah, they're hardworking.
It's original.
Yeah.
They're very hardworking.
They're cranking that shit out.
Dude, they get up at the, man, early bird gets the worm.
Yeah.
Like 7 in the morning, and then they film. They do 2 sessions, right? 7 to
for the news. Yeah,
two, but then they have JK party.
They do JK party other days, and then they go to the fucking gym on other days. Ugh.
You know what? I got the Bar Brigade, right?
Yeah, Barbell Brigade.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Who has the energy for that, man?
Well,
to do content and to work out? That shit's
Bart
crazy.
Does.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, boom.
I just met David. On a music video shoot.
Dude, he is so talented.
That's my boy now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we have our food show together.
See Gook?
I did see Gook.
What'd
you think about it? Man, it was I always like when I can see just like a different story being told in an artistic way, you know?
Yeah.
Powerful
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I saw it. I loved that it was in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
The story was beautiful.
It's so artsy.
Oh, It is artsy. Yeah. And Joe, by the way, brought his whole gun collection here.
Did he? It's here right now?
No, but he did bring it.
Wow. Just cuz?
Yeah, we had a whole... Oh, yeah.
No, as you said, a food show. I was just... I was, you did a food show.
Oh, yeah. I do a food show with David. It's called Send Foods.
That's what's up. Where can people watch it?
You can watch it. Well, actually, I was doing it on my YouTube channel independently for like a good year. And then I sold it to Thrillist YouTube channel. They do like, you know, food and lifestyle type shit. Mm-hmm. I sold it to them. And it was cool because when I was doing it on my channel, I could really only afford to do it in like LA and San Diego. Mm-hmm. Like, because the whole premise is we go to food festivals and me and David like eat and talk shit and get drunk and stuff.
Yeah.
I could really only afford to do it in like locally. And so Thrillist bought it. And now like we're going all over and we're shooting all over. We go to Denver tomorrow.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's fun. I actually make money doing it now, yes, which is amazing. Yes. So,
it's just you and Dave?
Just me and David talking shit, getting drunk, getting paid to eat.
That's so dope.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. I was going to say, it's really the only content I'm doing right now. Like,
dude, that's cool.
I mean, it's fun.
They're flying you places.
It's dope.
Yeah. So, this is the time where we plug all, like, do you have a website and your Instagram?
I mean,
and everything?
Hey, man, you know, youtube.com/Timothy. Instagram is Timothy De La Ghetto. If you like to read stuff, Twitter Timothy De La G, you know, watch Send Foods on Thrillist. That's it. Oh, and you can watch my podcast, No Chaser Podcast. That's every week on my YouTube and Spotify, iTunes. Thanks for having me.
And then when you drop your album, where could they listen to it?
It'll be on iTunes and all that bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. All right, dude, it was a pleasure.
Hey,
man.
Thanks for having
Hell
me, bro.
Yeah. That was awesome. Shout out to our sponsor again, Scentbird. Go to scentbird.com/Stevie, okay? And use the code Stevie for 50% off your first month today, okay? We do have a Patreon attached to the show, patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. Shout out to our newest patron, Alan Armano. Shout out to Michael Martinez for buying music off my Bandcamp, stevieweebybandcamp.com. We do have a website, stevieweebyshow.com, Instagram/QUANGOU. Shout out to Necro Electric, Losco Projects Podcast, and WFE.
And shout out to my mom.
And shout out to Tim's mom. We have, I have to check the P.O. Box, but we have a vlog called Stevie's P.O. Box where I unbox packages. Send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. We also have a new thing called Stevie on the Streety. People seem to like it. We're going to have more episodes available next week. Street interviews. Dude, it was a pleasure. There's no Little Ray's World. Thanks for killing the fly.
Woo!
Little Ray's World's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Whee!